Thoughts on Haggai. Haggai chapter 2 and verses 6 to 9. The New Covenant. Now there's too much here for one brief discourse, so the New Covenant part 1. Haggai now is doing something very similar, the same really, as Jeremiah back in his prophecy in chapter 31 of Jeremiah. The difference is Haggai is working after the return from exile for Judah, but Jeremiah was working in the times just before the exile, leading up to the exile, when Judah was still sinning and bringing upon herself the judgment of God. But both men are called upon by God, equipped by God, enabled by God to preach of this new covenant, the coming of the Messiah, the fulfillment of the old covenant, and the establishment of the new. Now, both men, of course, our Reformed friends misunderstand this, but both men naturally use old covenant language. Of course they do. They talk about the law, and they mean the law of Moses. They talk about the temple, and they mean the temple of Solomon, or, in Haggai's case, the temple built after the exile. They talk about the priests and so on, or whatever. They talk about anything and everything must be in terms of the Old Covenant. They can do nothing else. Jerusalem is Jerusalem to them. How can it be anything else? They're living in the days of the Old Covenant. But we look back from our time in the New Covenant, and we conceive the fulfillment of these shadows, the meaning of these things. Of course, it's Old Covenant language. What else could it be? But the New Covenant meaning is made clear by Christ and the apostles and interpreted to us by the Spirit. And what does Haggai picture this coming of the New Covenant, this coming of the Messiah and the setting up of this New Covenant? How does he picture it? Well, it's a little gentle breeze. No, it's not. It's a shattering earthquake. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Well, how can you do that? The silver is mine, the gold is mine, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Greater than Solomon's glory. What do you mean? How can it be greater than Solomon? Well, a greater than Solomon is here, we learn. Who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ, of course. The Lord Almighty says this. It's a sovereign act of power, of visitation, of shaking, of shattering. It's a sovereign act of God. Not just the Jews, all nations. Glory, peace. In this place I will grant peace. The glory will be tremendous. It's all going to be fulfilled. The old covenant's going to be superseded, replaced by the new. The shadows are going to give way. How do I know this? Hebrews chapter 12. The writer there speaks of the new covenant fulfilling the old, and he's full of this in Hebrews chapter 12. He quotes Haggai and expands and expounds upon it. The resurrection, Calvary before that, Pentecost, earth-shattering, 3,000 converted Jews, and then the Gentiles breaking out all over the world. Look at what is accomplished. It's a shattering, stupendous new covenant. And this is what Haggai is prophesying about. Jeremiah did the same, and the other prophets too. You can see hints and marks of it all through the Old Covenant. But the fulfillment is in Christ in the New Covenant. So that's what Haggai is doing here. God is speaking way back in those dim and distant days, in those shadowy days, and saying there's coming a glorious time when Christ will come. He will bring in the kingdom. And he shall come back again, of course, as we see in the New Testament, in the final day, the great resurrection, and the bringing in of the kingdom, on all for the glory of God. and the blessing of his people. This is what Haggai is speaking of. Okay, there's the building of the temple just after the exile. That's important. But this is all important. We're living in the days, brother and sister, of the new covenant. This is the days of the gospel going into all the world and sinners being converted everywhere. Unbeliever, if any unbeliever is listening, don't be left out of this great tide of blessing. Christ has come. Oh, receive the Messiah. Receive him in all his glory as Savior and Lord. Magnify him by yielding to him.